Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. 10 years, hundreds of guests, millions of downloads, one podcast.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on.
The 10-year anniversary podcast, March 10th, Peterson Auto Museum. Mahalo for a decade of getting it on. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Aries Spears. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Jordan Harbinger calls in, and a visit from Adam's high school teacher, Nick Bernal. And now, when he was a minor, he was a ceramics major. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. 10 years in, I got my old teacher here. I want to make him proud. So yeah. Share this with somebody. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Come on, man. This isn't real.
I have so much to get into. So Nick Bernal, Mr. Bernal, one of the cool ones, young teacher, always liked him, always have talked about him throughout the years, over at North Hollywood High, ran into him at the Ice House. Ooh, here's something. You know, when you're honoring your New Year's resolution, who knows what other good things the great magnet can summon for you. So I was at the Ice House on a Thursday night doing stand-up for free, where I normally would never be. And I walked off.
Nothing to do with that place.
I walked off the stage and a shadowy figure emerged from the shadows and the figures. And it was Nick Bernal, Coach Bernal, Teacher Bernal. And he said, hey, Adam. And I was like, oh, hey. He said, Nick Bernal. He did what people do, which is you should announce your name. Like, hey, man.
Remind people.
You know this guy.
You remember me, right?
Yeah, right. From 40 years ago.
Hey, long time no see. Or is it?
So I said, oh, hey, man. And I was so glad to see him. And I was glad he came out to watch a show. And then we talked about it on the air. And Chris invited him on this show. He's got stories.
Oh, I can't wait.
He's got stories he remembers about me and about Ray. And some I have no recollection of. I was told an amazing story about me that I have no recollection of at all.
Sight. Now, since it's been this many years, do you feel weird calling him by his first name? Do you still feel like you have to call him Mr. Bernal?
He's cool. He was young. For a teacher, especially, you know, when everyone else was like 18 or 17, 18, he was, you know, 24.
Okay.
You know, so he was a young
guy
back then. And we didn't have the first names of Mr. Spaeth or Mr. Diliberte or some of the other guys.
Well, they had first names.
Mr. Gregory. I don't think they did.
Mr. was the first name. Yeah.
But Nick was a cool guy. So we knew him. We called him Mr. Bernal.
Okay. Right.
And there's some sports stories and coaching stories. A story of... heroism as well. Heroism, whatever it is. Hero and hero. Mm-hmm. Either way, we'll get into that with him. But first, I have to complain. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. And you guys tell me what's going on in the world, and we'll try to figure this out. This half of the show brought to you by BlueChew.com. Enter Adam, Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance. Intuit, go to Intuit.com as well. I ask a lot of questions, and I'm not sure why other people aren't question-oriented.
Okay.
I say to people all the time, when Matt the Porcelain Punisher calls me and he goes, you guys want to keep the car? You want to drop it off at the airport in the morning, or you want to just keep it through the night and park it at the hotel? I go, where's the hotel? Where's the airport? Mm-hmm. Do they have a shuttle? Is the airport drop-off on the grounds of the hotel, or is it somewhere remotely? And blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, I don't know. And then I go, hang up with me, call them back, figure all the stuff, and then I'll make a decision. Mm-hmm. And that's how I do everything, because it'd be stupid to make a decision before you knew a lot of things. So I also there is a thing where things are pretty obvious, and they're pretty obvious, but not so obvious to so many people that are basic. I was telling my son in the kitchen last night that you have common sense, and I was sort of explaining to him. So it was on this sort of not Taco Bell material, stand-up special, and Tug, and tickets sold, and tickets left, or whatever. And I was sort of explaining to him now, the way it works is you pick out a theater, and if you sell enough tickets, the show will go through. And but it doesn't mean the show is sold out. And then he like jumped in and went, yeah, because you've sold enough to get it green light to use the theater.
He gets it.
But there's still tickets left. Yeah. It's not, there's a difference between sold out and confirmed. Right. And I said, yes, exactly. Thank you. He has good sort of horse sense and common logic. He's a bad student, but he's good at that. So now as we come to the end of the first run, the first run is all the movies that are going to air on the 27th of February. And then there's later runs that are like, oh, this one's slated for March 15th in New York or April 9th or whatever it is. So the first thing I do is I say to people when we're having conversations, I don't want to talk about any of the other dates. I only want to talk about the ones that are upon us. Mm-hmm. They're nigh. They're nigh.
Yeah,
they're on us. So there, the other 9 dates on the thing, I don't want to talk about.
It would be foolish to give the same priority, same attention at this moment.
Right, but when you get the goddamn printout, it still has every single city on it, even stuff that's going off on 318, 415, 314. Like
right around the corner.
So I get as I try to be as clear as humanly possible, which is I don't want any of this mixed into our data. All I want is the stuff that's going off now.
Right.
For some reason, I feel compelled to explain myself. I go, and then when we're done with this, we'll have plenty of time to get to the other ones that are on 4/18 or April, whatever, the middle of April. We'll have plenty of time to get to that stuff. But for now,
let's focus our
I just want to focus on this. That's the first hurdle to not get through. The second one.
It's frustrating because we're looking at, Gina, this is an Excel spreadsheet. Yeah. This is a very straightforward,
basic,
just printout layout spreadsheet. That's 2 clicks. That's sorted by date and then just, you know, that's it. It's sorted
right.
by date.
And it starts.
Sorted by column H.
Right.
The first two shows are Atlanta, Georgia. No tickets sold. But it's not going off for another month, right. So I haven't talked about it. I don't want to get... Don't put that at the top of the list. I've told you I'm not interested in that. I only want to talk about this stuff, but that can never be. Then I have asked this question. I said, okay, let's suppose we get to the end of our deadline, which is about a week before the show actually appears in the theater. They cut you off about a week in advance. Mm-hmm. I said, let's say in Salt Lake City or wherever, we're 13 tickets short of making the confirmed.
Yeah.
What if we buy up those 13 tickets?
Yeah. And then make them available. Because people like to
scalp your own tickets.
Oh, Brian, no one can wrap their... They can't wrap their mind. They can't wrap their mind.
Human nature is to sort of trickle in at the last minute. You know, you'll sell those tickets over the course of the next week.
Oh, Brian, you're talking crazy talk now. What planet are you from? So I said...
Sonny told me this.
So first thing you do is you go like, can we just buy up those last 13 tickets? And they go, yeah, you can buy those up. And I'm like, I know we can buy them up. But I'm saying, can we buy them up and then make them available through the same modality? Like, so there's a week
or
left.
A website or any number of.
Well, I know we can buy them and sell them. We own them. That we could sell it on the podcast or I could give
sell
them away.
Up front.
I go out front and hand them out or whatever it is. I get that part.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if there's.
Hey, kid, do you want to see a comedy show? Where are you going? It's good. It's really
first
funny.
Time's free.
If there's, for the sake of argument, 10 tickets left. And you've cut things off a week in advance in San Francisco, well, then there's a very good chance that people might go online or go to the theater, go whatever, and buy up those 10 tickets.
Yeah.
Now, is there a way for us to purchase those 10 tickets but leave them essentially digitally with the theater or with you so that as people click on or if they do click on, they can then use up those tickets?
Yes.
And I cannot get an answer to that question, and I keep asking. Well, it's mainly on our side. I yell at all my guys, find out, and then you get things like, well, if you buy the tickets, you can do whatever you want with the tickets, which is like,
understood.
Yeah, I got it.
We're a
retarded person. Yeah. Yes, I understand that. And then you go, but can we sell the tickets? And they go, well, we still get our cut from those tickets.
Understood.
Understood because I was born. Not because I know anything about business, but if we get 30% from every ticket, I could sell out Staples Center by simply buying every ticket at Staples Center, but it wouldn't be a profitable endeavor for me because I'd be sharing it.
But I could do whatever I want with them.
I do whatever I want with them. I understand that. Can we just leave them where they are and have them chipped away at? Mm-hmm. And if at the end of a week, 7 out of the 10 have sold, then we'll pay for the last 3 or whatever it is. Can we do that? Cannot get an answer. People are confused what the question is. And I literally went back after 24 hours and yelled at every one of my guys, would you please ask this question and figure it out? What is going on? Why is this not the first thing you'd want to answer? Or am I missing something?
The only thing and this is not a good explanation. The only thing I think of is you're messing people up. These are adults. You're messing people up by asking the question. You're the boss. What it should be is, hey, here's the plan. We're going to buy these 10 tickets. Figure out a way to make these 10 tickets available, whether it's on Tug or on StubHub or whatever it is. These 10 tickets we will buy and resell. So that this thing
goes that I get.
But again, this is not a good explanation.
The first part is, I just want to buy the 10 tickets and leave them at Tug somehow. But I don't know if that's possible. Right. If they cut it off or bring it off or whatever it is. Anyway.
Whether or not it's possible, the spirit of what you want to do is still there. Whether it's Tug or StubHub or AdamCarolla.com. The modality is neither here nor there. You will have a mission you want to accomplish.
It's an action, not an answer.
Anyway, so I got my spreadsheet with all the other dates on it, which is the first thing I said. Please don't do this. Just focus on what we're doing right now.
Oh, data sort.
It's so weird when no one knows what. They don't know what you're doing. You tell them. Here's what I want. All right. Anyway, many of the shows are confirmed.
We've seen a lot of tweets that, we got Dallas. We got
locked in.
Many have sold out. Many have been confirmed, but I'll keep you posted. I am going to buy a few tickets, and I'll get them out to you. Just a side funny note, James Brolin rolled over to the new shop last week. James Brolin was an old race car driver, as we talked about when James Brolin was on the show. James Brolin, married to Barbara Streisand, honored by UCLA Institute of Environment for Sustainability, big on raising awareness of global warming. Streisand Foundation supports lots of environmental issues. Sure, she's a champion for the environment. The fella she's married to rolls in a Ford. He's got a murdered out Ford Raptor.
He burned more fossil fuels than all of her previous husbands combined.
He's got a murdered out, all black on black Ford Raptor. And he made sure to point out to the Ace Man, who he knows is a car guy, I didn't want the new one with the V6 and the turbo.
Too clean.
The efficient.
That's right.
The efficient.
I want the V8 that coughs.
The one that sips gas.
Right.
I want the one that does the cold water bucket challenge on gas. The Lou Gehrig's challenge where you just dump the whole. He said, I had to look around. Now, money's not an issue, I'm guessing,
I imagine not.
James Brolin. He had to look around and find a 2017 model year, whatever it is, that had the old V8 in it before the new one. So this is a rare case of a super rich guy going, I don't want the new one. Yeah. I want the one that's 2 years old because it's got the super inefficient gas-chugging V8
in it. It's going to cost me money, and that's what I want.
Now, all I'm saying to all you guys is, how are we going to get this done? How are we going to convince the folks living in the flyover states you need to drive a Prius when we can't get James Brolin? Now, be fair, James probably parks it down the street at Cher's house.
That's right. He goes in a roundabout driveway.
Hops in his Prius. Side pass.
Yep.
I'm going to the Erewhon in Santa Monica. I'm going to buy some whole oats.
And a neti pot.
Yeah. And a neti pot. I'll be back.
The co-op.
Then he takes off. He pulls into Cher's house. Bangs her. Yeah. Then hops.
Back in his golf cart.
Hops into the Raptor. Does 2 good donuts around the circular driveway and just goes right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Up the hill to Charlie Sheen's house.
There goes a man.
I'm just saying.
P.W. Herman.
what? I don't know what the optics of. I'm not one of these guys who does the, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio. He wants to save the world, but he flies privately to the summit. I hate that guy. I don't like those people.
I feel the exact same way about this James Brolin story as I did about when Al Gore came out with Inconvenient Truth. It was like, he flies around in a private jet. He's this person, Brolin and the Foundation or Gore, they're doing good for the world. What they do to do it for the world is minuscule compared to the good they're spreading. Information
completely
in,
down
in this respect.
I'm down with that. There's a certain point where the optics are weird. Like if you own too many homes and have too many incandescent light bulbs or something, like you got to walk the walk as much as you can. Yeah. But flying, I don't know. It's almost like saying, oh, not this president, but the last president's down with the environment, flying around in Air Force One. You know how much that costs? You know what that does to the atmosphere? Like it's like, all right. Forget all that stuff.
Right,
but.
If you're making policy, feel free to fly around in a private jet. You're affecting untold millions.
I agree. I just don't think Babs is photographed riding shotgun in the Raptor that often.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I just thought it was funny that the guy she's married to is driving around a Raptor.
Do you think she has
He drove it from Malibu to here. Mm-hmm. There's no off-road stretch between here and there.
No.
No.
Do you think she nags him about it? You think she knows?
She gives a few snide remarks.
You gotta take the Raptor.
Oh, by the way.
You're going to Corolla show? I guess you're not taking the Prius.
By the way, she can't call it a Raptor.
Yeah.
That's not.
Oh, no.
That's not old rich woman talk.
The black car.
You got to take the T-Rex. You got to take the. What is it? The Velocity? The Velociraptor? You know she screws. She has to screw it up. It's probably a little passive aggressive to never get it right.
Yeah, know what
the
it
Rapture.
Is. Yep.
Right. Yeah. Right. There's probably some point he pulled up in the driveway and said, Babs, you want to check it out? She went, I'll look at it online. Awesome. All right. Should we bring Mr. Bernal, one of the good ones?
Yes,
in?
Please.
And when I say one of the good ones, I mean one of the good teachers.
Right.
North Hollywood High. I'll tell you first about Blue Chew. If you like sex like I do, don't let Mr. Bernal know I'm into sex. BlueChew.com, performance enhancement in the bedroom. First chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Cheaper than Viagra and Cialis, too. Chewables work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. You can take on a full or empty stomach. Only takes a few minutes to fill out the form online. No doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. Made in the U.S. of A. Blue Chew. Confidence in the bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. That is BlueChew.com. Right, Dawson?
Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code Adam. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Adam.
Nick Bernal, one of the good ones.
Adam Carolla, one of the best.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, everybody out there.
So you must have been your first assignment over at North Hollywood High when
North
I ran
Hollywood.
Into you.
First assignment, 1979 is when I started.
So that's when I started at North Hollywood High. You were had to be the youngest or one of the youngest teachers there.
I was the youngest. In fact, when I first tried to go into the main office and get something out of my box, I was reprimanded. Young man, get away from there. Those are the teachers
only.
You
should be in the teacher's lounge.
Yes.
Well, Nick Bernal looks brand new at 62. You can imagine the 24, 25-year-old version of him back then. What I remember about Mr. Bernal is he was kind of easy, kind of kind, kind of fun. He was young. You know, he was closer at age than we were, than a lot of the other teachers. Very athletic, liked sports. Coached and taught psychology.
I was a social studies teacher, so I taught all the social sciences. History was the main thing, but I also taught economics, sociology, psychology.
I remember taking psychology and other classes with you.
Stuff you bring to this show this very day.
Yeah, talking about What a Fool Believes, how you played that in class for us.
I heard that show. I think you took U.S. history with me as a junior and then psychology as a senior.
So there were times I remember when we were hanging out in the weight room having like balance competitions on the barbells. We'd stand on them and try to walk them like a tightrope.
Right. So the barbell was there. And at first what we were doing was seeing if we could walk from one end to the other. And then we got a little more daring. And the idea was to walk out into the middle of the barbell and see if you could do a 360-degree turn. And I was pretty good. But boy, your balance is really good. And the barbells were kind of rolling a little bit as you tried wow. to do it. And we called it the Barbell Balancing Championship. And other people tried it, but you were the champ.
Yeah, I had good balance for
yeah,
some reason.
You did.
And I remember we also, I think there used to be a thing before football, before the season started, like a cardiovascular
right.
thing that a guy named Casey Brown.
Casey Brown. I just went to his retirement last summer.
He's a real athletic guy who right. drove around a TR6. So he was a cool teacher back then. The teacher that drove the sports car was like also a cool guy.
Right, my close friend.
Too. He's a good guy. And this guy was in like phenomenal shape. And he used to run us through the bleachers and run us through there. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Every summer he would just take it. And most of the coaches wouldn't even go. It would just be Casey Brown running everything.
And he just run you further and harder than you ever knew. And so the thing is it was illegal, not illegal in the eyes of the law, but in terms of the football program, for any of the schools to practice. Couldn't throw sure. the ball, couldn't punt, you know, couldn't do football stuff, but you could do conditioning stuff. Okay. And so it was all the worst part of football, just running bleachers
no
and
tackling,
running,
just
running with a tire tied around your waist. And he was kind of... He was diabolical in his ways to get people to hurt the next day.
But he motivated you guys.
He certainly did. And I remember him telling you, he'd say things like, he probably said this 200,000 times, bust the chops if you see him for me. But he'd go, you guys get through this program, in hell week's only going to be heck week. Teachers so get to throw around fours and fives yeah. in the comedy department, but they're nines and tens, you know? Gentlemen, gather around. And I use that term loosely. If I did that on stage, someone would throw a shoe at me.
And rightly so.
And rightly yeah. so. But you get to be the funniest Shecky,
that's right.
Coach Shecky. You'd be the funniest teacher and the funniest coach with these threes and fours.
That's so good.
What a grade you're what a curve you're graded on. All right, so stories. What okay. stories?
First
and
of all,
I want to preface it, sorry, by saying I remember Nick Bernal well. Mm-hmm. I was there for a short period of time, and he was a cool teacher. If you'd ask me 30 years on, does Nick Bernal remember you? I'd have, well, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I'm assuming, no, he sees hundreds and hundreds and then thousands and thousands yep. of kids throughout the year. So I don't know if he has any thoughts about me.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I have to be honest, you have thousands and thousands of kids over the year, and after a while, they all kind of blur together, and you kind of can forget people from just a year ago. But when you first start out teaching, those kids stick with you, mm-hmm. and the group that was with Adam, okay, let me say, in teaching, there's two things that are important to you. One is the academic ability of the kids, and you have some classes that are very, very high and very, very low, but there's also the social aspect, and some of my favorite classes I've ever taught, it wasn't that they were the best students. It was that they were the funnest students. And that group I had, that psychology class upstairs, Fraser Hall, overlooking the street with Adam and Ray and Devin Bartlett and of all these different guys, it was the funnest class. It wasn't me. It was the personalities of everybody. Mm. We all just gelled. And can I tell a story?
Sure.
Like poop sticking to someone's ear. You all just kind of came together.
Tell us yeah. a good story.
Okay, here's a good story. Football season. Ray Olhoffer, you've all heard of him, was on the football team. And so it's period four. Everybody starts filtering in. And first in is Devin Bartlett. He says, oh, Mr. Bernal, we had the greatest party after the football game on Friday. I go, oh, that's nice. He goes, and it wasn't just the football players. It was everybody. Our parents came, too. I said, oh, that's really nice. He goes, yeah, the parents were there. We had the music blasting. And parents, they're old, but they can dance. You should have seen oh, my God, Ray Olhoffer's mom. I go, what? He goes, you know what? I can't even say anything. She was – I'll tell you what, Bernal, when Ray walks in, just look at him and say, hey, Ray, tell me, how did your mama dance? And Ray will crack up. He'll probably get a little embarrassed, but he'll laugh. I said, oh, okay. So Ray comes in, and I said, hey, Ray. He goes, hey. I said, I heard there was a football party. He goes, yeah. I said, so tell me, Ray, how did your mama dance? Mm-hmm. Ray just looks at me. His eyes get big. And then he kind of shakes his head and looks at the ground. And then he looks up and says, Bernal, I can't believe you'd ask me that. You know my mother has no legs and she's confined to a wheelchair. And then he turned around and went out of the room. And I go, oh, Devin Bartlett, I'm going to kill him. And I look and Devin wasn't in the room. So I went running out of the room after Ray. I get out in the hall, and there's Adam and Ray and Devin. They're laughing. And they go, we got you, Bernal. We got you. And then they said, one of them said, yeah, you're cool. We couldn't leave you hanging. But you know Michelle Raymond? We did it to her, and we didn't tell her for an hour. She started crying.
Yeah, we like you, so we don't want to carry the hoax on.
Right.
I totally forgot about that. I remember the sort of us screwing with people with How Does Ray's Mom Dance, Irene, but I forgot the part where we did it to a faculty
member.
You
did it to me.
Bold. We wouldn't have done that to Mr. Spaeth or Mr. Gregory.
Mr. Gregory. Nope.
All right. Give us another one.
Okay. This story, let me just say, in our lives, in high school, you really, really care about how other people think about you and how you're judged. And sometimes you don't do the right thing because your buddies make fun of you. And all of us have had moral lapses where we didn't really do something bad, but we didn't do the right thing. So there's a girl who will remain nameless, big girl, taller and heavy. And she was one of those people who was kind of a lightning rod. People used to tease her and give her a hard time. So she comes walking into the classroom on high heels, and she lost her balance and kaboom, she went down like a ton of bricks. And it made a loud noise, and people were howling with laughter. And of course, it really, really upset her because she got hurt, and she started crying. And then people were laughing, and then somebody tried to be nice. Said, okay, come on, you can get up. She said, no. So I went over and said, are you okay? Let me help. Don't touch me. I said, okay, well, you know, they're just laughing and I'm in so much pain. So but this thing went on for over 5 minutes, maybe close to 10 minutes. And I'm trying everything I can think of as a teacher to do. And, you know, of course, I couldn't pull her up because she wouldn't even let me touch her. And so now the kids are being really, kids can be mean. And they're saying like, she's not even hurt. Get up. And everyone's being mean and nasty. And no one's daring to go try to help her because, you know, what would the other kids say? Up stands Adam Carolla, steps out of his desk, walks over and says, come here, put your arms around my neck. I'll carry you to the nurse's office. And he picks her up off the floor, which I physically couldn't do. A few people could do that, but nobody had the moral, you know, ability to, who cares what anybody says, I'm going to help this girl and get this class started. He picked her up, carried her out the door. We were on the second floor, carried her down the stairs, out the building, across a small way across
the dumpster,
up into the to the next building, took her to the nurse's office, and then when he came back in, the entire class stood up and gave him a standing ovation, and all the girls were like, "Oh, Adam! Oh, you're so nice, Adam!"
Do you remember this?
It's weird. I block out most positive memories.
Yeah.
So that would be a positive memory. I know exactly who he's talking about. He's talking about the unfortunate big girl.
Yeah.
Not fat,
sizeable,
like, oh, she needs to lose some weight. Just some people are just big, and every once in a while it's a guy, and it's like, good, play nose tackle. But when it's the girl, it's always a little tough. So I remember she was the big girl.
Must have been a long walk to the nurse's office. Was that awkward? I mean, of course for you it was awkward.
It was long from where we were because we are at the end of one building. You had to go down to the end, down the stairs, across the thing and then up the stairs and into the next building where Kennedy Hall, where the nurse's office was. I had this thing where I didn't have like a real strong build, but I was strong. I could pick people up and sort of, I had good leverage or something that way. So, and I had good endurance or strength or something. And I was like, I could pick her up.
But
picking her up
like,
off the floor is much more difficult than from a chair.
And it's almost like the mob. Like you just mess with other mobsters. You don't mess with citizens. You know, you're not trying to hurt the average girl.
Oh, you'll go to your way to help the old lady carry her groceries.
Right.
You know what I mean? If the mobsters.
Yeah, we never, the high school bully kind of mold is never correct. The bullies bully each other mostly and nerds, but mostly you end up bullying each other, sort of like the alpha rams or males or whatever in any kind of animal population. They end up fighting each other most of the time. That's kind of what we did. And then when she fell down, I think her name started with a D. No, it's another one. What did it start with?
An S.
Oh, I've got to look that one
up. At least in my memory.
Either way, when somebody was off our, they weren't They weren't targets. They were civilians. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they should be helped.
Yeah.
Your kindness should be for them, and then you go fight Ray and Chris or whoever. I don't know. The hallway. That's how we did it.
Can I ask Mr. Bernal a question?
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been about, you knew Adam about the time that he was deemed by others to not be Taco Bell material. What did you kind of can sketch out where you see a kid's life going, like this kid's going to, you know, more or less do this or going to do that or attend to it. What did you see for a young Adam Carolla?
Well,
what did you envision?
Adam, I'm sorry. Adam was
wow.
not.
Wow.
Very busy.
First
man.
Podcast, Mr. Bernal.
As a matter
actually,
of fact.
So, actually, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think it is. I forgot to do that.
Don't worry.
I turned it off at the comedy club.
Yeah.
Adam was not. Okay. I think he teases about, oh, I was a worse student. He wasn't. He was a good student. He wasn't, you know. Straight A student, but he did his work. He did his homework. He turned in his papers, and he was smart. And but he told me that he was going into construction, and he was especially good with cabinets. And I thought, yeah, he'll do great in that. He's real friendly. So, you know, part of a contractor has to be able to work with customers. Mm-hmm. He's a good people person. He's good with his hands.
Fast forward to now.
I remember he came back one time, like maybe a year or two after he graduated, and he gave me a business card. And it said,
whose was it?
It was probably a few years later.
Okay, a few years later. But the business card said, Adam Carolla, contractor, specializes in cabinets, and does comedy on the side, specializes in fat girlfriend jokes.
We got to get that business card. Please tell me you have it.
Let me tell you, I found that card like years later when he was up and coming, and I said, oh my gosh, I just have this with all these stupid business cards that I'm going to probably throw away. I'm going to put this someplace really special where I won't lose it. And I did. And I've never seen it again.
You know, I don't think I'm going to find places. It. Yeah.
I could probably dig one up.
Oh,
because
be
I probably ordered, like minimum order was like 500. Yeah. I probably handed out 9. So I had a brick of these things. And it was the most valuable thing I owned at that point.
Sure.
So they just traveled along with they don't get thrown in the box with the pictures or whatever it is.
That's great.
I remember sitting in class. I remember Ray letting a fart go in class that was so insanely loud that you just told him to go stand outside and told me to go move seats.
Move. Because my first inclination was because you were laughing. Everyone laughed. It was funny. Everyone was dying of laughter. But then it started dying down. I want to get my lesson going. And you just kept going. And then your laughter kept everybody else laughing. So I thought, that's it. I'm throwing Adam out in the hall, too. So I'm just about to do that. I think.
Can't
That's
do that.
Not gonna work. They'll both be out there, and it's gonna. And it wasn't a serious enough offense to like send him to the dean's office or have him seriously punished. It's just a funny thing. So I'm trying to regain control of my class. So yeah, I think I moved you a couple of chairs. In those days, if you were a teacher, you told a student to do something, they would do it. Nowadays, they'll give you an attitude. But in those days, they go, okay.
I always looked at it as sort of a lateral move. Like, just you get up and move 4 seats that way. And I was like, all right, I'll take that punishment any day of the week. I don't even know what it is.
my thought, you were probably sitting next to Devin Bartlett or somebody else who was really reacting to you. So I thought if I
move a little way. Separate them.
Yeah, that'll help.
Who is this Devin Bartlett? Why have I not heard his name before?
Yeah, it's a new name.
He's a blonde guy. I wasn't great friends with him, but we used to like to screw around and we all end up in Mr. Bernal's class. And he played on the football team.
Right.
But I think he may have been 1 year older. I can't recall.
Right.
Got to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But it may be. The I'm glad to hear about this heroic lifting the giant woman and carrying her. And it's one of those things that I completely blocked out of my memory. But as you say it, I sort of conveniently, of course,
well, I was so impressed because I hadn't been in high school that much earlier. And I remembered a moral failing on my part where I should have done something and I didn't. And it was because all the guys were watching. And it just... wasn't.
Then here comes Adam Carolla rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, and then Adam's the perfect guy. Everybody loves him. He's really funny. He's really athletic and talented. Big guy. And he does the right thing on top of all of that.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Jeez, I ain't going to come home with me.
Come around more often.
Tell the kids some
stories. Wife and kids.
I have a question. Yes. I just have a question about, we hear a lot about Adam and Ray's interaction with each other and their buddy Chris. And it's pretty... pretty violent. With the things they would do to each other. Did you witness any of this? Them roughhousing in the hall or peeing on each other in locker rooms?
No, I missed that.
Okay, that's probably for the best.
But you know, sometimes they get a little physical in the classroom. And hey, or mostly in the classroom they did. Mostly that was like on the way to class or in the gym or in the weight room or someplace.
And what do you do?
Well, they're just playing. They weren't. Once in a while, like if it was in the weight room, I'd say, hey, careful, you know, someone's going to get hurt. If it's out in the middle of nowhere, you know, like in the yard, or I would say, I wouldn't say anything. Or if it's in the hallway and it was crowded, you know, I'd say, hey, guys, there's too many people. But no, they were never trying to seriously injure each other. They're never angry at each other. So
No, we're never angry. We did things that, you know, people never talked to another human being ever again for to each other. But he was Devin was class of 80, so he was 2 years older than me and went to USC. See, I didn't hang around those college kids.
Wow.
any other Adam Carolla stories that you can think of?
Adam Carolla stories. I just remember that I think of all my classes, this is one of my favorite, and it was because of the personalities, and I think the leader of that class was Adam. He had this wit and charm, and he was so funny, but he knew when to stop. You know, like sometimes he'd get a little bit too disruptive. And I instead of getting angry, I used to always laugh and say, ah, that's a good one. Okay, let's get back to it. And then Adam would stop and he would tone it down. And
sweet, sweet validation. Yeah. He needed it so bad.
God, I wish you taught driver's ed. Mr. Gregory. God, I don't know if he's still on this planet, but there was something wrong with Mr. Gregory, right?
He might be under
Is there something wrong
My
with
best
him?
Buddy, Gary Smith, was the other driver's ed
teacher.
You're a football coach.
Oh! Gary Smith was, God, I got to think of his name. He was like the, he was Mac Davis. He was the quarterback from North Dallas, Florida. I just mean he was a combination between the guy who drove the truck in Smoking the Bandit and singer, songwriter, actor Mac Davis, like cool country guy. Okay. Like, hey, man. Like, you'd see him and he'd go, hey, Adam, you're awesome. Oh, sometimes you're good, and sometimes you suck, and then he'd laugh and walk away. You know? And he'd go, that guy, and he was my football coach. So when I was a good football player, worked hard, and blah blah blah. He said, you know, some of the weird stuff, the way your brain works, picking up the giant woman taking her to the thing. It's I remember playing my last football game, and we're walking off the field at Monroe High or wherever it was, and he came up to me. Well, it was just like walking off the field, like we just got beat at the end of the game and blah, blah, blah. And Robert Caceres and Leonard Eshoo had died.
Yeah.
The two guys had died on the team in the fiery car crash. We're going to win it for Robert and Lenny, and they ended up beating us by taking the kickoff all the way back with 2 minutes left in the game and blah, blah, blah. And Gary Smith, the cool driver's ed coach and football coach.
Gary
said, when we were walking off the field, he said, like, I wish we could have been a better team for you. Like, I wish you had a better team around you.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, like, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Like, he sort of meant, like, you were good and we weren't that good around you. And I wish we were a little better for you. You're going to go off and dig ditches for the rest of your life. I wish you'd won a couple more games when you were here. So that was his. So when it came time to driver's ed, it was a coin toss. You'd either get this one or you get that one. This one would have been the greatest thing ever.
Yep.
Gary.
But Mr. Gregory, not so much.
What Gary, it used to bother Gary because as the semester went on, they would move people out of Gregory's class into his class. And by the end of the 10-week course, Gregory would have about 10, 12 kids, and he would have like close to 40. And it would be like, this isn't fair. We're getting paid the same amount.
Well, Mr. Gregory, look, we'll try to honor his memory by not using the word douchebag more than 28 times. But Mr. Gregory had something sort of wrong with him, or I don't know exactly what it is. Like, most of the time you have teachers and the thing is like, well, that guy's a little short, a little curt, kind of plays by the rules. Then Mr. Bernal, well, he's a cool guy. He was a cool teacher. He's fun. Screw around with that guy. Mr. Gregory was a different category, just sort of weird and quiet and sort of that,
like
then he would explode and like yell, and then he'd go back to silent and whatever. And he decided we needed a 10-page typed out report at the end, or we would fail everyone. Like he had his own kind of category, which seemed a little malicious and a little bit like, this is what you would do if you didn't like kids. Would that be a fair assessment?
You know, I never saw him in the classroom, but in the faculty lounge, he would say virtually nothing to anybody.
There it is.
So, I don't know. I didn't know him.
That's odd.
I knew who he was.
Kept to himself.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, I got the one weirdo driver's ed guy who then failed me in driver's ed because he was a man. We can't say he was a man of his word because he said, anybody who doesn't turn in this 10-page typewritten, I didn't have access to a typewriter. Like, I couldn't spell, you know, like, I don't know what I was. He said, anyone who doesn't turn this in is going to fail. And I remember just doing like a calculated decision. I was like, I've been here every day. I took all the tests. Like, I raised my hands. I asked questions. I was here. I wasn't delinquent. Mm-hmm. I wasn't absent. I wasn't truant. I was here. So I'll bet you if I don't turn this thing in, he'll just give me like a D-. And I don't care because it's driver's ed and I have no GPA anyway. I'll just get kicked on ahead to driver's training. That son of a bitch failed me. And then it was the summer and I turned 16 and I was like, now I got to I had to pool all my birthday money to go to a like 72-hour
intensive
Van Nuys strip mall driver's ed class, even though I had just finished doing a semester.
But to be fair to him, who doesn't have to write a term paper every time they get in their car? Yeah. So he was trying to teach you something.
Information probably helps. Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be a race car driver.
Right.
Yes. So Mr. Bernal, the cool one. So then you must have, you didn't hear anything from me for years and years. I gave you a business card at some point.
So then what happened was I started hearing about you on the radio show with Dr. Pinsky and Dr. Pinsky, who messed me up one year.
Mm. What?
I was a soccer coach. You know, coach your kids. And so the way they did soccer is they would rank all the kids. The best kids were, okay, so his kids were on my team. They were the number one and number two players. And now the deck has been dealt and everything's done. And so
his twins?
His twins, yeah. They were the number one, number two. And then we went down from there. And there was only 9 kids on the team. So the top 3 were your crucial kids. Then your average kids, then your not so good kids. So top 2 kids, I call them up, say, hey, I'm going to be the coach. They go, oh, we decide we're going to play Pop Warner instead.
Oh,
good for him.
So now I have, yeah, so they can play football. That's great. But then
there's a talent pool.
Yeah. Then I said, well, what can I get? And they go, oh, there's nothing left. That was the worst team I ever coached, and we didn't win a single game. But anyway, no, he's a good guy.
Douglas and Jordan screwed you.
He has a practice with my wife's friend.
By the way, the wife will give a plug out, does real estate, and you can hit her up at Judy, spelled normally, Judy Bernal, BERNAL.com is where you go. You've retired now?
I retired. I retired in June of 79, finished up a 39-year career, and it was time to go.
How has it changed over there at North Hollywood High? You say the kids, they don't tend to listen like they used to, or they don't obey or what?
Okay, here's what it is. You have the vast majority of kids are great kids. Now, the socioeconomic and the demographics are very different. We have a much larger immigrant population, lower socioeconomic. Towards the end of the 80s, a lot of the kids who would have come to North Hollywood elected to go to private school. We still have some really great magnets, and we have other kids, other programs on campus. We send kids into the Ivy League schools all the time. But you don't get that automatic respect. As a teacher, like, think about you. If Mr. Gregory told you, get up and go sit over there, you'd do it because he's a teacher and you're a student. But now, you know, a kid will look you back in the face and use profanity. F you. You know, I'm not going to do it. And then you get this whole situation.
This is great progress, by the way. More of this.
But the vast majority of the kids are using North Hollywood as a stepping stone. A lot of them are from immigrant backgrounds. They're moving on to college and careers, and they come back and they talk to you. And, you know, mostly it's good. I think there's more bureaucracy now. There's you know, occasionally disrespectful students. But like I said, the vast majority are great. I love my job. To the very last day I did it, I laughed and had fun with all the kids all the way to the day I retired.
So you came out the other week to the Ice House because I was performing?
Yeah. The other couple I was with.
Forced you.
His niece is Melissa Villaseñor. She's on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. So she
just did Lady Gaga last week.
I saw her. She was awesome.
She's great. By the way, if you guys want to see an episode of a show that I really enjoy, which is Crashing on HBO, she's featured in an episode. Oh. I think it was last season. And really, like, you see a lot more of what she can do than you do in the little snippets on SNL.
Right.
You're right.
Right. So Marco and Alice, we were talking about comedy, and I love comedy. I do too. He said, well, you know, your old student, Adam Carolla, sometimes performs at the Ice House. I go, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, next time he does, let me know. Maybe we can double date. And so he called me that week, said, hey, he's performing this Thursday. So we specifically went to Ice House to see you. And it was great. You were great. I was laughing so hard.
God damn. One of the good ones, I'm telling you, Mr. Bernal. And we may have to have every teacher except for Mr. Gregory. Come in, Mr. Diliberti. You failed me as well. We can't have those two. But every other teacher, come in and tell them to sort of pre-chamber a super heroic story.
Yeah, sure.
We did a chunky
one.
Chick. Let's see if we can save either black dude or somebody of color. Let's see.
Didn't you rescue Wendell Shirley one time?
Kid a wheelchair. Kid a wheelchair be good.
Wheelchair's good.
Art room's on fire. Yeah. You have to go in.
Yeah, let's just say somebody struggling with their sexuality. Kids making fun of. Enter Corolla into hallway.
You can wear my dress.
Yeah.
He saved my marriage. He talked my wife.
Yeah, that's right.
See, this is good.
That's right. So see if we can – don't bring them on if they don't have a story if they can't remember the story, I think, like Mr. Bernal did. I mean, what?
I have one more Ray Olhoffer story.
Let's hear it.
Okay, this is back U.S. history. Everyone had to do an oral report. And so Ray – well, not everyone. I think if you wanted a B or an A, you had to do an oral report. So Ray had to decide – everyone's doing, you know, history, real significant history. He says, I'm going to do Levi's. Like the history of Levi's? He goes, yeah, I think because that's kind of like history. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. And, you know, I gave him free rein. You can pick your topic.
The gold rush, the 49ers?
Yeah.
It's tied to history.
It's tied in. So he was supposed to give it, and he goes, I'm not ready. I go, it's today. He goes, can I go tomorrow? Yeah, you can go tomorrow. Next day, not ready. Next day after that, I said, tomorrow's your last day. He says, okay. He doesn't come to class. Okay. So finally he shows up. I said, Ray, this is your last day to do your report. He said, it was supposed to be yesterday. I wasn't here. I said, I know. So you're doing it today. He said, I can't do it. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I said, well, then you're going to get a zero. I've given you more time than anybody else. He goes, can I take my notes up? And I said, yeah, go ahead. He gets up there with his notes, and he just begins. It was the best oral report of anybody in the class. He starts off with the gold rush and Levi Strauss and the ships and the
I literally
canvas.
Remember bits and pieces of that. Like, originally, they're made of canvas.
Yeah.
And then blah, blah, blah. And they didn't think the buttons, so they put the rivets in the pockets. And I remember beats from that. Yeah. I remember thinking, Ray, you got to kill yourself after this because it's not going to get.
That's
the height.
That was like the Olympic gold medalist winning the gold medal.
That's it. Hope the plane crashes on the way back to the United States.
My hero.
It's all downhill from here.
I love that he specifically was absent because he thought, okay, well, then that's my last chance. You're not going to bother me about this again.
You'll forget.
All right, let me tell you quickly about Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure like a young Ray Olhoffer was on that cool autumn morn. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure, keeps the metal parts off the other metal parts. Three times, fool! Stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. They did a test in 5W30. Viscosity, and it is three times stronger against viscosity breakdown. That is Castrol Edge. All right, let's see. We'll take a quick break. Nick Bernal, You got to follow me around and tell that story. I'm so in love with that.
You're my hero.
Oh, look at that. The great Nick Bernal.
How many of your students went into comedy? 10 or 12?
I can't even imagine.
Was there anybody else that like got into show business that you recall?
Okay, there's one who I know you may not have heard of, but Christine Hodge. She was on a TV show, Head of the Class.
Oh, yeah. The redhead.
Yeah.
Oh, Christine.
Green eyes.
Yeah, is it Hodge or Hodge?
Oh, okay. Hodge,
with that beautiful long ringlet hair. Yeah.
Right. And then she did a few movies. But the big one was, oh my God, I can't remember his name.
George Clooney.
No. He got an Academy Award.
Oh, actor. My God. Was it Dean Devlin?
No. He was in Snow Dogs. He was in
Cuba.
Cuba?
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Of Snow Dogs.
I'm like, he led him a Snow Dogs.
He was nominated for Snow Dogs. He didn't win for Snow Dogs. He won for Jerry Maguire.
That's right. He won for Jerry Maguire. I mean, of all the movies he did, why would I come up with that one?
I was going to say, that's weird that came to you first.
Now, you should follow me around, but you shouldn't follow Cuba around. You know this guy? He did Snow Dogs.
Show me the look back.
Peak of his career.
A car backfired. He yelled school shooting and threw a retarded kid against the window for cover. He's a great guy. Remember Snow Dogs?
Yeah, don't get me as his publicist.
You know, radio.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, by the Sun is doing production as well. And we'll tell everyone that website is Burn. It's B-E-R-N Wood. Burnwood. .tv. So let's keep the Bernal name out there.
Great stories, Mr. Bernal.
Let me say one more thing. This is a very short one.
Giving up the spotlight.
Love it.
One time, my wife walked in, and the Juggies were jumping on the trampoline back on the old man show. Mm-hmm. And they were bouncing, and my wife says, "What are you watching?" I saw this man show, you know, Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, Adam Carolla was my ex-student. She goes, "Really? Oh, that's great. So I got out of
more Juggies.
You're just doing research.
Yeah, research from my old students. Okay, sorry.
All right, quick break. We'll come back and get some tips from Jordan Harbinger right after this.
Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here, lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long. Ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want 2 tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios exclusively for our 12-pack case club members. We love you guys.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace, I mean it more than ever. You absolutely need to run for office. Mayor, then of course governor of California and president. Just everything you say is so incredibly common sense. God damn, how you would fix things. I'm absolutely serious. Corolla 2020.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Thank you, young caller. It is weird that we were speculating the other day about how you thought the computer was going to suck us all right into reality and there's going to be no
solve
more
every argument.
No more wives' tales. There'd be no such thing as a Jenny McCarthy talking about vaccinations because we have a computer.
Hmm.
We can look it up. No
and
more lore.
We've gone harder the other way.
Yeah.
I think someone tweeted us. I can't remember who it was. Someone tweeted a picture and I saw my timeline or maybe tweeted it to us. It was like, it was at a doctor's office and said, my medical degree it knows more than your Google search.
Yeah.
Basically, and, you know, like, I understand you want to believe about the Medicaid or
it's
the
like we're
vaccinations.
We're fighting facts.
Yep.
We're like, we're staving them off because
resisting.
we live in a world where we can bathe in information and facts,
oh.
And many of us are just taking them on like Bruce Lee,
I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, but we're living in an age of anti-intellectualism, whether it's the vaccinations and the doctors. Like, I know what your years of dedicated medical learning tell you, but I saw this on Facebook. So
it's
people
also,
know things for a reason.
Also,
they're experts.
We're also fighting wisdom by embracing everything that every 13-year-old girl has ever dreamt mm-hmm. of and deciding she knows better. Mm-hmm. Like, there used to be something called wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom.
It's a version of what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Learned, accumulated knowledge.
Wisdom, unfortunately, means old guy, and we don't like old guy. So what we've done
now
is we've gotten rid of old guy, yep. Thus wisdom was the bathwater that we threw old guy out mm-hmm. with, and now, hold on. And now we have no more wisdom anymore. And I think once wisdom is like sort of the first domino to fall, and then sort of common sense yep. and reason and horse Rational. Sense and all that just starts going afterward. And then we get into I know what I know and in your heart of hearts and you can't be wrong.
Yep. And in terms of bestsellers and best-selling books, you have somebody I'm so obsessed with this guy, the medical medium, who apparently has no medical degree and gets all of his information from a ghost, is a bestseller. So this is where we're at.
All right. Let's talk to Jordan Harbinger. Jordan Harbinger Show is the name of his show, and he's got a lot of wisdom for a young man, just 32. Jordan?
Hey, yeah, I wish I was just 32.
It says 32. I was looking at it going, Jordan Harbinger, 32, and I remember thinking, I didn't know he was that young.
He's done a lot of living.
Yeah,
I got some city miles on me for 32. Now I'm 39.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, but not in the two, but they're right next to each other on the keyboards.
A circular right. keyboard.
It is weird. I don't do a lot of like who cares or whatever people's age, but I remember I looked and went, he's younger than I thought, and now he's not. All right, sorry, Jordan. What do we have an intro for Jordan?
Oh yeah, hold on.
Let's do that.
And now, some simple ways to better yourself in 2019. Brought to you by Intuit, proud makers of TurboTax, QuickBooks, and Mint. It's time for Harbinger of Success with Jordan Harbinger.
What do we got this week, Jordan?
Well, you know, before I dive into this, I will say that the death of expertise that you guys were just talking about is something that is actually like so toxic to society. And I would love to dive into that at some point, but I will spare you. I will talk about lowering the bar and putting ourselves in a more empowering emotional situation. It's essentially, a lot of us, what we do is we put ourselves in these disempowering emotional states or set ourselves up to be put in disempowering emotional states by setting the bar too high on our goals. So we tell ourselves things like, I'll be happy when I'm rich, or I'll be happy when I'm thin is really common. And we might not say those exact words, but we say things like, I just got to lose these 10 pounds before summer or before my vacation. And the problem with this is these emotional states are dependent on something that is either far away or can only be experienced at a distant or an even like an alternate future, an alternate reality for a lot of us. And even when we do achieve these particular goals, we find that we're still not happy, and happy and excited additionally are sort of limited in the amount of time that we can experience that. And so instead of saying something like, I'll be happy when I lose these last 10 pounds or when I gain some muscle, we have to lower the bar. We have to lower the bar for what we are willing to accept emotionally and say, I'll be happy when I'm at the gym. Because going to the gym... Yeah, going to the gym is a more easily achievable and immediately achievable goal, right? So we have to be happy with the process, not the result of the process.
Well, to be fair, easy for you to say at 32.
Right, what does he know?
Dylan just handed me a note and said I was 67, and it's a harder for me to put the muscle on at that advanced age. All right. Wait, let me jump in here, Jordan, and say this.
Yeah.
I do tons of remods and tons of projects and tons of whatever. And people always say, how much for the kitchen remod in your house, or how much for the bedroom, or how much did the doc cost, or the comedy special, or whatever it is. And I always say, I don't know. I have no idea. And or how much is it going to cost? And I go, I have no idea. And they go, how come you don't know that? And I say, we're going to do it as fast as we can. We're going to do it as efficiently as we can. And we'll do it as effectively slash cheaply, but that doesn't mean cheap product, cheap materials. Right. It just means like we will weigh our decisions on where to spend the money and where not to spend the money. And then where it ends up will be where it ends up. And I, you know, 10 years ago, people said, you know, when I started podcasting, then people start talking about it. When did you know? And I was like, I never knew anything.
Nothing.
My plan was go do it, put your head down and do it. It doesn't mean spend $8,000 a month on bandwidth for the rest of your life and never turn a profit. But I don't know. It's weird that people want to know everything. Like, how did you know? What did you think? Yes, Brian.
I had this exact same conversation earlier today about the beginning of the podcasting network. We're about 10 years out, and it's time to reflect. And I was talking with Deb Barge, whose name you remember from, you know, The Benefit and all that stuff, and I was breakfast with her, and about when the podcast started, and, you know, how insurmountable it seemed to some people that this could be a thing, let alone anything more than a hobby, profitable. Like, it was off the table. And I explained, like, one of Adam's best qualities is your stick-to-itiveness. And if you want to do something, whether it's a remod or a podcast, granted it was small at the time, but you're like, put your head down and do it.
See
we
it
put
through.
One day behind you, then you put 2 days, mm-hmm. and put three. Next thing you know, you've got 20 podcasts. Next thing you know, you got 100. You know what I mean? Like, you're just keep chipping away at that thing.
Yeah, which is the opposite of exciting or and immediate gratification.
Absolutely.
It's the most
glamorous.
Boring. It's, again, it's the diet and exercise version of a diet, mm-hmm. versus you can eat all the fudge you want and then you have to, you know, give yourself a coffee enema and then you can go back to the fudge.
The fudge.
That stuff sounds good. Mm-hmm. This stuff is super boring. And it's sort of...
In a way, well, it is. I mean, the subject matter is
like
fun, but
yeah.
but you know what
no,
I'm saying.
No, I don't mean you guys are boring. No, what I'm saying is A remod is like dirty and busting out the old stuff and calling the dumpster company, mm-hmm. and dragging it out to the curb and blah, 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 waiting for inspection, yeah. and drilling. It's 3/4 of it is cleanup, mm-hmm. like literally sweeping up
right.
stuff and busting mm-hmm. stuff out. Like, it's no fun. It's not exciting. It's not what you want is the before and after. Yeah. Everyone wants the before and after. It's the middle yeah. where you have yeah. to live, yeah. and yeah. that's the slog. Sorry, Jordan.
No, of course, it makes sense. It not only is it a little bit less sexy, but this actually allows us to get through the unsexy part, right? Going to the gym is a more immediately achievable goal. Like, I'm going to do that right after this. And setting the bar two more achievable goals rather than the result. So we can set it to the target emotion more quickly and easily. Like, I'll be happy when I get to the gym. That's easy. I can go to the gym and then boom, I can be happy about that. Versus I'll be happy in 3 months. Because the problem is when we say I'll be happy when I lose X number of pounds, we move the goalposts, which is really disempowering. It leads to a lot of negative cycles. Like, oh man, I want my show to be as popular as Adam Carolla's. Okay, great. So then if I even come close to that in a few years or by some miracle, then I move the bar, or I say, well, he's more popular now than he was back then when I set that goal, so I'm still unhappy. So even though I might have tripled my audience, I'm still a miserable little prick because I didn't hit my goal. So I'm constantly moving the goalposts on myself, setting myself up for failure, even if I'm actually on an upward trajectory. And so you start either a cycle of positive reinforcement or a cycle of failure, depending on what you do now. No matter what I do now, I can't be skinny today. Unless
right.
I'm already skinny.
Well,
right? I can't do that.
Is this a fair statement? I think there is a small percentage of the population, and not just our population, the world's population, and historically as well. So you take a guy like Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey wrote himself a check for like $10 million
right.
famously, mm-hmm. and then said, you know, stood on Mulholland over the lights of Hollywood and said, one day I'm going to cash this check. There is a very small percentage of human beings that actually can work that way. That's how they're motivated or whatever. To me, it's this Jim Carrey, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler. Like, that's the top. Those are the top
Rushmore.
Four. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd have Jim at the top. He's right. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, he's
in between, like, Stalin and Mussolini. But either way, for everyone else, it's put your head down, go to the gym.
Grind.
Just go grind it out. And we, I think, get dragged into this. See what Jim Carrey did? I'm doing that with weight loss or whatever. And it's like, but you don't. Yeah. That's him. And that's very rare. For the rest of us, this is what works. Thanks, Jordan Harbinger.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I want to say, it is not a permission slip to let yourself off the hook. It is different than lowering the bar so low that you don't try. Right, it's setting realistic goals so that you're on a positive cycle, not going, well, I guess I can just be happy with anything, so I'll just eat Cheetos and play Xbox. It's different than that.
It's also I will say that it's helpful to have little mile markers along the way.
Absolutely.
I was football season, Super Bowl parties, traveling, events, blah, blah, eating out, comp this, first class flights, yada, yada, yada. And I said last Sunday, I just remember going, I'm doing Kimmel on, like, I think it's the 27th or the 28th. And it's like, I went, all right, you're fat. You're doing Kimmel in like 13 days. Why don't you go hard with the no sugar, no grain? And let's see if you can lose a pound a day for the next 13 days. And I'll get on my little digital scale every morning. And sure enough, if you're a guy my size, 200-pound guy, you can lose a pound a day if you stick. You don't have to go bananas. You just have to stay pretty
literally,
close.
Don't eat bananas.
But stay pretty close to it. And you're not going to be 182 doing Kimmels. You're going to be 190 doing Kimmels. But if that's provided, we can drop a pound a day up until that little yard marker out there. So put it out in front of you. Thanks, Jordan Harbinger. We'll play your outro, sir.
Thank you.
Harbinger of Success. Brought to you by Intuit.
Whether you're a small business owner, a mother, a podcast host, a newly retired teacher, you can work toward a prosperous future. Prosperity doesn't mean the same thing to everyone. Maybe it's buying a home. Maybe it's starting a college fund. Maybe it's finally taking that trip to Hawaii. You should save up for that trip to Hawaii, Gina Grad.
Do it.
I'd love to.
First time.
Whatever your version of prosperity is, you probably won't worry about the time and the money and the obstacles nearly as much if you use Intuit. It gives you the confidence to pursue your goals. Join millions who manage their finances with QuickBooks and TurboTax or Mint. Everyone deserves a chance to prosper. Get started on your path to success today. Learn more at Intuit.com. That is Intuit.com. Powering prosperity. Intuit.com. All right. Ari Spears is out there, and I'm told his partner's out there. Andy Steinberg. Yes. He's out there as well. Do a podcast. We'll talk to him. He's talking yesterday to Van Lathan about Black Twitter, and Aries has been thrown off of Twitter.
Oh no!
So I've learned.
Can't wait to hear.
So I'll ask Aries Spears about that.
Harassing Leslie Jones, probably.
Oh, is that a thing?
No.
Come on, Brian.
No.
Come on, man. We don't have that brother on sister crime. All right, we'll do that right after this.
Thursday, March 7th at 10 in downtown Los Angeles. Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club, featuring Up on Game with author Richard Stanley. I was wearing oversized creased solo jeans, a button-up short-sleeved flannel, black sunglasses, gloves, and a black and white hat. Patrons and employees looked my way on several occasions. Seems being dressed like a bank-robbing cholo while in line at a bank was somewhat suspicious. I looked around several times to make sure no one was creeping up on me, and then I heard it. A young woman's cheery voice said, "Next." One more quick thought. Walk out and say it was a bust, or just do it? If I don't do it, the homies will think I'm a bitch, I thought to myself. Can't be having that. March 7th at 10E. Come out and enjoy a signature Mangria cocktail. Hear me read a chapter from Up on Game, and meet former bank robber and guest of the state of California, entrepreneur Richard Stanley. Details on the events page at adamcarolla.com. Up on Game, available on iTunes and Audible.